La 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 la.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Ready Set Stream Gilmore Girls Edition. This one is season 1 episode 14 and it's titled That Donna Reed. So
yes, we're back at it again.
Yes.
So if you would rate, like, subscribe, share, comment, and where we lead, if you're still hanging in there with us, you can follow us at the links below.
Yes, indeed. Definitely do. So, with regard to this episode, we kind of felt after watching it again and really analyzing it that this was kind of what you would call more of a filler episode. I think a couple of significant things happened, but I kind of had this feeling about this episode that it was kind of a filler episode. What do you think? Yeah.
I almost wanted to tell that story, but I'm not going to.
Yes, so, yeah. Okay.
Significant. Yes.
No, don't tell that story.
Yeah.
So, we're going to do this one a little bit different than we normally do. In this particular episode, there are really two main subplots. One is with Rory and Dean, and one is with Luke and Lorelai. Since the two don't really relate very much, and they're kind of running in tandem or parallel to each other, what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of focus on the Rory-Dean scenes together as much as possible, and then we'll go back and go over the Luke and Lorelai scenes. And then at the end, there are a couple of other scenes that we'll need to touch on that have pieces in them that relate to the whole episode that are important to see, so we'll go over those at the end. We're still going to do our Lorelines, our Rorys, and our Emilys. Those will be at the end as we always do. If you like this format, let us know, because we're always open to suggestions, and we just kind of felt out of necessity that we needed to try this one a little bit different just because of the way that the episode was set up. If you like it, you know, we can make it permanent. Let us know how you feel about that.
Okay, so you're changing the scroll on me. I hope I don't get lost in the weeds here, and hopefully everyone's already watched at least one time around, or at least caught up to this episode, or two times around like me. I know you've seen it numerous times. You're an old pro at it.
Oh, yeah.
But bear with me, because if I get lost, this is going down in flames, people.
Yeah.
Real quick.
We're going to do
like the first episode we ever had.
Yeah, we're going to do our best here. We're trying out a new format just for this episode. So first, we're just going to start out by reading a simple summary of what happens generally in the episode, and then we'll start breaking it down.
The floor is yours.
Yes, all right.
Because I don't do those things.
You don't do the reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want me to, trust me.
This is a person who does not read very much at all.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because...
Not that I can't.
You're married to a huge reader.
I have read.
Well, thank you, but... Okay, so what we have is an evening of the Donna Reed Show reruns that infects Dean and both the Gilmore Girls. Dean expresses a longing for the type of family represented by the Donna Reed Show. Lorelai helps Luke spruce up the diner with a fresh paint job, new curtains, and Rory dresses up like Donna Reed and fixes a 1950s style dinner for Dean while pet sitting Babette's new kitten. And when the baby chick that is the subject of Rory's midterm project at school gets loose in the house, Lorelai frantically calls Luke to help her search the house.
Yeah.
And then both Suki and Emily force Lorelai to confront her feelings for Luke. But, of course, Christopher, whom we have at least mentioned in the past.
From time to time, yes.
Yes, as being a part of Lorelai's early life and the father of Lorelai's child, Rory.
Yeah.
He roars into town on his motorcycle and agrees to stay at Lorelai and Rory's house during his visit.
Of course he does.
That's, yes.
He comes in like the cool rider he is. That Indian chieftain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to start out with Dean and Rory. And we're going to go over all of their scenes together, and it'll just kind of flow, hopefully.
Snowball from there.
Yes.
Hopefully, yeah. Run smoothly.
He comes in to their house, and he's carrying a box of pizza. He greets everybody, and they tell him that they're watching the Donna Reed Show. And, of course, Rory looks at one of the containers he's carrying, and he says it's a salad, and she questions him. And he says, yeah, it's a quaint dish sometimes used to precede large quantities of pizza. Rosa. They just kind of stare at him. And I thought it was hysterical that if it's not junk food, the two of them act like it's from another planet.
They're like aliens studying a subhuman creature, you know?
Yeah, that's the look they're giving.
And I noticed they always put them in those brown paper bags like it's a mysterious item. Yeah.
But I so wish I could eat their diet and look the way they do.
Yes, indeed.
And
it would be a nicer world in which we live.
Avoid diabetes. Because the way they eat, if I was to do that, I'd be diabetic.
Once again.
I would be 800 pounds.
Yeah. Once again, I'm going to mention this movie because I love it.
Oh, Lord.
It reminds me of Defending Your Life, where he goes to heaven. He gets to eat whatever he wants.
Oh,
when he's there.
Yes.
That is
movie.
Heaven, after all.
Yes,
to
it
me,
is.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But that wasn't even heaven. That was like the...
the in-between.
The weighing where you're, which way you're going to go. Back or forward, you know?
Right.
Are you going to progress or degress, you know what I'm saying? And I love the Hall of Past Lives Pavilion.
Yes.
Yeah, that was...
If you haven't seen that movie, you should give it a try.
Definitely.
So, Dean tells them that the salad is for him, and then he asks who Donna Reed is. And Rory acts shocked that he has not heard of Donna Reed, and Lorelai tells him Donna Reed is the quintessential 50s mom with the perfect 50s family. And Rory said, never without a smile and high heels. Hair that if you hit it with a hammer would crack. And Dean says, so it's a show. Rory says, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's like, it's a religion. And Rory says, my favorite episode. And Lorelai's like, ooh, tell me. And Rory's like, it's when their son Jeff comes home from school and nothing happens.
Yeah. That's the running joke.
Yeah. And Lorelai said, ooh, that's a good one. One of my favorites is when Mary, the daughter, gets a part-time job and nothing happens.
Yeah. And so on.
Yeah.
And so on.
And Rory is another classic. And Dean says, so what's this one about? And Lorelai says, this one is actually quite filled with intrigue.
Quite.
Yeah, it's quite filled with intrigue. The husband, Alex, comes home late for dinner and he didn't call.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And Rory says, might as well kick the dog, too. And Lorelai says, oh, look, she's making donuts.
Yeah.
And so, first, I just wanted to kind of say that I just think it's really cute and funny how the two of them watch shows together. We see this more and more in other episodes where they're kind of watching something and they make up their own dialogue. They pick it apart. I just think it's cute that they bond this way. The Donna Reed show is clearly a point of contention here.
Yes.
Just based on what Dean had to say and what he says subsequent to this and what they have to say back. It kind of starts with Dean because he likes the idea behind Donna Reed.
Oh, yeah.
And her life.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Right. Where clearly Lorelai and Rory have an issue with it that's evident by their comments. But we're going to get into that more heavily as we continue onward.
Yeah, it's a bone of contention for them.
Yeah, but I did want to point that out, that some people do kind of look down on this type of lifestyle. But at this point, they're just kind of watching the show and laughing about it. It's harmless right now. But it does cause some problems later on in the episode that we will talk about.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to mention before we move on from this, where Donna Reed's making the donut, that just reminded me of the old, I'm gonna reveal my age here, the old commercial Dunkin' Donuts where coming and going and he's like, I'm making the donuts, time to make the donuts, and then he meets himself at the door, I made the donuts. Yeah, but what would they have rather done? Dean bring over Boogie Nights? I'm gonna bring
as
that back up.
As he suggested in one of the earlier episodes.
I think they're watching a wholesome show.
Yeah. Okay, so they proceed to pick the episode apart, pointing out her sugary attitude, Donna's. And Rory mentions they're doing their mother-daughter window washing. We should do that. And Lorelai's like, yeah, right after mother-daughter shock treatments. You know, daughter, there's nothing more satisfying than washing windows. Oh, no. Rory, what? Did I miss a spot? No, I just had an impure thought about your father, Alex. Funny. I don't know why I had it. It isn't the second Saturday of the month. Rory, in a deeper voice, hey, I heard you an impure thought.
Yeah, because he peeks through in the twin them.
And Lorelai, I must now sublimate all my impure thoughts by going into the kitchen and making an endless string of perfect casseroles.
Cook it out, yeah.
Okay, so as we rewatch the episode, we realize that we do this too.
Mm-hmm.
We make up dialogue instead of the show's dialogue. We've done it a lot. I didn't even really realize that we do it until you started to point it out to me. You know we do this too.
Yeah.
And I was like, do we?
Especially if it's like a foreign language and we don't understand it. Kind of reminds me of that movie Beastly. Remember?
Love that movie. Love it.
Kyle and Lynn Andy are sitting there. Well, he's the Beast. They're watching, what was it? It was a foreign movie.
It was a Korean show.
Yeah, and they were talking about how much they loved each other, and then they kiss, but then they find out she recognizes, because she speaks a little,
yes,
that it was a mother and a son.
Yes.
And they were like, ooh, and we were like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's also one of my favorite lines, I say it all the time from that movie, when Kyle's giving his speech, best embrace the suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah. All right, so at this point, Dean tells them that they're not even listening to the dialogue. And Roy says that theirs is better.
Yes.
And then Dean makes the major faux pas of saying, it all seems kind of nice to him.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. And he said, family's being together, wife cooking dinner for her husband.
Yeah.
And he points out that she seems really happy. And Lorelai says, she's medicated. And Rory says, and acting from a script. And Lorelai's like, written by a man.
Yeah.
And Rory says, well said, Sister Suffragette. And Dean is like, well, what if she likes making donuts and dinner for her family and keeping things nice for them? And Rory and Lorelai just stare at him.
Yeah.
And Dean immediately feels uncomfortable and mentions how he feels very unpopular right then. I don't know. I just thought that whole section was extremely mm-hmm. funny. I used to watch shows like this when I was like in junior high and high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like Father Knows Best. I watched some Donna Reed. I watched Toby Gillis.
Leave it to Beaver.
I have not watched any of them as an adult, so I don't know what my adult perspective would be, if it
now
would
have
changed.
Yeah,
but back then it all seemed so cool to me too, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, and it was like, if John McEnroe was narrating, he'd say, read the room, Dean.
Yeah, they're staring at you like you have three heads.
Yeah, well, of course, that's because you have Never Have I Ever on a loop. I mentioned John McEnroe narrating.
Yes, of course.
It's in my mindset. I did notice that Lorelai had a little smiley smirk at the end of the scene.
Uh-huh.
She was just amused by it.
Yeah.
They were winning, you know.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
So later on in the episode, we're skipping forward a little bit because we're sticking with the Dean Rory part of the show. Dean is waiting at the bus stop for Rory's bus, and when she gets off, she has a bird cage in hand, and Dean offers to carry it. They kiss a couple times while saying hello over and over, and then he finally asks who her friend is, meaning the bird, and she tells him it's her homework, and she has to take care of it over to the next month, examine its every move, etc., etc., and then she asks if he's jealous. I have to stop and say something about that, because I think this might have been some foreshadowing for upcoming events. Up to this point, Dean has not really shown himself to be someone who's all that jealous. You know, he's just a guy that likes to be with her. But as some of us know, once a bit of competition presents itself, we do see a jealous side to Dean later on down the line. And I'm not going to say much more than that, but I do think that this is kind of ironic, because he says, no, he's not jealous at all.
Jealousy is a green-headed monster, and reminds me of Star Wars when Yoda's talking to Luke. Don't start down that path.
Yeah, it
it'll lead
to
the dark side, and forever will it dominate your destiny.
Yes.
And I fell prey to this when I first started dating. It could lead to obsession and a little. I learned from my mistakes. I'm not like that anymore. You were young and in love, and
right.
I totally relate to Dean on that, but I didn't take it to that level.
Right, and we'll wait and see. I mean, it's coming.
Yeah.
Alright, so she tells him that she's house sitting for Babette, because Babette has just gotten the new kitten Apricot. So she offers for him to come over and be with her, and he says he has to go to work, and she thinks he's not supposed to be there until 5, and he says, no, 4 on Thursdays. For some reason, Thursdays is always really busy. Lots of oppressed housewives shopping for their husbands' dinners. And Rory goes, wow. And he says, what? And she says, that was a little pointed. And he says, what are you talking about? And she says, that crack about the housewives shopping for their husbands' dinners. Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
He made a very pointed remark, and he knew it.
Struck a nerve, yeah.
But he knew what he was saying.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, she rose to the bait immediately. And she did not like it. He tries to play it off as a joke, but she is not having it, saying it's a weird joke for him to make. And he digs himself even deeper in by saying, you're just so sensitive about the whole Donna Reed thing. And she says, I'm not sensitive about it. I just find it ridiculous. And he's like, well, why? And she's like, what do you mean, why? And he's like, well, so she cooked a lot. And Rory's like, a lot? She made homemade donuts, chocolate cake, a lamb chopped mashed potato dinner, and enough stew to feed Cambodia all in one episode. And Dean said, so what? And she says, you really like that concept, don't you? He says, no, well, yeah, sort of. And she goes, oh my God. And she's actually getting kind of hot. And he says, I mean, it's a little over the top, but the general idea of a wife cooking dinner for her husband and family, that's nice. Why is that not nice? And she says, it's not just that. It's the having to have the dinner on the table as soon as the husband gets home, having to look perfect to do housework, and the whole concept that her one point in life is to serve somebody else. And he goes along with that, but says that there are two points of view. But Rory, of course, is disagreeing. Then he puts his foot in it further when he says, well, you just feel that way because your mother feels that way.
Ooh.
And Rory says, oh, what? So I have no opinions of my own? Yeah, that was kind of a remark you don't make.
You are a product of your raising, though.
True, but you also have your own opinions.
Well, yeah.
And she's getting very riled up right now, so he quickly says he didn't mean it, but it's too late. And she says, well, if I have no opinions of my own, then I guess I'd be just the kind of girl that you like.
And that does play out later a little bit.
And Dean says, Rory, my mom used to make dinner for my dad every day before she started working.
Mm-hmm.
And now she even does it on the weekends. So what does that say about her? And Rory says, it says that she has a choice and Donna Reed didn't. And he says, you didn't realize that Donna Reed wasn't real, right? And she's like, yes, I know she wasn't real, but she represented millions of women that were real and did have to dress like that and act like that. And he can't believe they're actually having an argument over the Donna Reed show.
Yeah.
He finally just says he has to go to work and he walks away. Personally, I can see both sides, but I lean more toward agreeing with Rory in a sense, and allow me to explain that. I do think Rory has a point that back then, during that time period, women were more expected to be homemakers rather than having the choice to be. Nowadays, after much progress and a lot of years, women can choose to be homemakers or they can choose to go to work or do both. And I think that's the point that Rory's trying to make here, whereas Dean is just kind of digging the idea of Donna Reed's life without thinking of the choice part of it.
He's skating over that, but this is a generation that was different from when this show came out, and it's definitely different than the generation we're in now. And I'm gonna go a little deeper into this real quick. Before Donna Reed's show, after the men came home from World War II, times were different. During the war, everybody contributed. You know, their classic poster.
Oh, yeah. And the woman holding her arm. Yeah.
Making a fist. So they found that there was more to life than just being a homemaker. One. Two, when the men came home, they had a lot of problems. They didn't know about PTSD.
Back then.
Yeah. So they just wanted to relax. And the American dream and norms of that time was married, the man works, the woman keeps the house, white picket fence. You know, happy life, married, happy. Women didn't work really out of the homes. That was the norm. Like I said, they found out that they could do more. When Rory was watching this, she was raised different by a single mother. Women work. Women take care of themselves. Women power.
Independent women.
You know, and I'm all for that. I have a guilty pleasure. I love the Spice Girls. I shouldn't admit that. You know, I'm all for girl power.
Absolutely. Me too. So Rory goes home at this point, and Lorelai absolutely loves the baby chick and insists that they name it. And first she names it Stanley, but then finds out it's a girl, so she names it Stella. That would be me, of course. Rory just tells her the name is subject number blah blah blah, you know,
animal testing.
Yeah, but it would be me. I would have to name it, and I learned that from my mom. We used to go fishing with her ex-husband, and she would catch a fish. Fish would jump in the boat for her. I don't know if she even liked fishing, but they would practically jump on the line for her. I mean, it was amazing. But she would catch a fish, name it. She would actually give it a little kiss, and then she would put it back in the water. So, of course, I learned to do the same. I do eat fish, but I don't meet the fish ahead of time before I
eat it. You're not emotionally connected to it.
Yeah, there's no emotion involved. But if I've held it in my hand, that means it's cute.
Cute.
And as you know, I'm a cutarian.
If it's
cute, I cannot eat it.
I've always wanted a mini baby piglet. So if I got one and named him Kosher.
Oh, wouldn't be able to eat sausage or bacon again.
Because he would be named Kosher and you wouldn't be able to eat him, you know.
Yes, but, I know this.
So if I had a mini baby piglet, you wouldn't want to eat pork anymore? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe not. I enjoy eating meat, but I try not to think about where it comes from. I have often thought about going vegetarian, just simply because I can't stand the thought of I know where it comes from, and I try not to think about where it comes from.
Yeah, you want the steak, but you love won't want to meet the cow.
Exactly, because I love animals so much.
Yeah.
Well, even chickens and cows, and I mean, they're just so cute. I just try not to think about it.
I do agree with the cuter animals. Did you ever have a chick?
I did have a chick very, very briefly. We had like a little box full of chicks for about a week, and I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
After that, I think that we were only keeping them for a little. I was very little, so I don't even remember. Yeah.
One second grade or so, we had a local farm that we incubated the eggs, and then
Aww. They
hatched, and then we got to keep them for a few weeks, and then we gave them back.
Little baby chicks are the most adorable thing you've ever seen. They're like little fuzzballs.
And mine was smart. He would come out a little trap door and
my gosh.
Pull it down.
They're so cute.
I'm pretty sure something... I don't want to say. Yeah, let's not go there.
Okay, so later in the episode, Rory has made Dean this elaborate dinner over at Babette's, and she's even made him a Jell-O whipped cream dessert, and they seem to be enjoying themselves. But Dean says, you know, it's really amazing as this whole thing was. I mean, the music, the outfit, because she has decked herself out as Donna Reed, because she's obviously been chewing on this all day, and she invited him to come over to Babette's house. So she's got this whole 1950s looking outfit on, her hair's done up, and she's wearing these heels, etc.
I don't know if Miss Patty or Lane had something to do with her getting that
dress. Yes, because there was a scene with Lane earlier.
She did go out.
Yeah, she did go out. She finally
It's either Miss Patty or Lane.
You could tell it was eating at her, so she got up and grabbed her jacket and went out. She
hatched a plan.
So Dean tells her, as really as amazing as this whole thing was, I mean, the music, the outfit, the dinner, I hope you know that I don't expect you to be Donna Reed, and I don't want you to be Donna Reed. That's not what I meant. This just totally got blown out of proportion. I'm actually pretty happy with you. And she says, I know, and I appreciate that, but aside from this actually being fun, I did a little research on Donna Reed.
Did she do some Gilmore?
She did some Gilmoring of her own.
Careful what you ask for, Dean.
Uh-huh. She says, look, see, she did do the whole milk and cookies wholesome big skirt thing.
Yeah.
But aside from that, she was an uncredited producer and director on her television show, which made her one of the first women television executives, which is actually pretty impressive. And Dean says, well, I'm glad this turned out to be such a positive experience for you.
Right.
And she says, it has been. And even though I'll probably never get the feeling back in my left little toe, I'd do it again. And she says, someday, but for now, I'd better get these dishes cleaned up. And he's like, well, I'll help. And she said, sorry, you're a man. You can't help for another 15 years. So he goes instead to take out the trash and do what the man would do.
Yeah.
So I thought it was an interesting fact to find out about Donna Reed that I did not know. But note that Rory did say that she was uncredited, which was not fair. So, I mean, if she was a director-producer on her own show, she should have been credited.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
so that, even though that's an interesting fact, and it does kind of show that she got to be a little bit more than just, all right, woman, get in your corner.
Yeah.
She wasn't credited. Still.
Yeah, that was unfair. You know, I've seen both sides of this play out. My grandparents was the typical wife, fixed the food for the husband. But then my mom raised me doing dishes, doing laundry, taking care of myself. I didn't have family sit-down dinners at home. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not at all.
There's no shame in being a housewife or a house husband nowadays. And I've done both. Thank you very much. It is a job.
Oh, absolutely.
It is a hard job. You can raise a family without that unless you can afford a nanny or daycare nowadays, and that's expensive.
Some people can't afford
that.
And you can't,
and it takes two. And sometimes, there's no shame in that.
Well, sometimes even if you've got both of the people working, they still have trouble affording a nanny or daycare.
Yeah, it's astronomical.
Because it is astronomically expensive.
And we've helped our daughter pay for that, some of that, too.
Yes, very true. Remember Mr. Mom, the movie Mr. Mom?
Oh, yeah.
If you've not seen this movie, you must see it. It's an 80s movie. It's Michael Keaton, and I cannot remember the woman's name to save my life.
Oh, geez. You know I'm not good with names off the fly.
But he lost his job, and both he and his wife start looking for a job where, you know, she's been a homemaker.
She was in the movie Tootsie, too.
She was also in the movie Tootsie. She played Sandy in Tootsie.
Yeah, I got soap in my eye.
Yeah. But she's been a homemaker up to this point where he loses his job. And they both decide to go out looking for a job. She ends up getting one before he does.
Yeah.
So he stays home and takes care of the house and the kids. And that's why the movie, of course, is named Mr. Mom.
Yeah, and that's like...
And he does a great job.
Yeah, and that's like Full House. Well, he eventually does. He comes around. He was first depressed.
At first, well, he had to learn.
Yeah.
We all have
to
learn.
Well, he was depressed, too, from losing his job.
It's like any woman or man or anybody who gets a brand new baby, you have to learn how to take care of it from scratch.
Well, that,
you know,
that shows the shifting in the attitudes, because back in the 80s you had Full House. More men were becoming house husbands or whatever you want to call it. The times were changing.
Yeah. Personally, if I had the perfect world, none of us would have to go out to work. And we could all just stay home and enjoy life and be with our families. That's the perfect world to me. And let's just trade for what we need.
Yeah,
that would be nice. So that kind of concludes the Dean Rory portion of the story, although we will meet back up with them later in this episode. So now we're going to move on to the Luke and Lorelai area. And we're going to now go back and go over the scenes that we kind of skipped over in order to stay cohesive on the Dean Rory.
Okay, I'm trying to keep it together here.
Yeah, okay. Keep it together.
Okay.
Kit, keep it together. All right, so Luke comes in to take Lorelai's order, and she immediately starts bantering with him, opening up by asking if he can take some constructive criticism. And of course, he says no.
Yeah, that's but me.
But she insists that his diner could use a makeover, a sprucing, a coat of paint.
Yeah.
And he insists, of course, that he does not spruce. And she says, well, what do you mean you don't spruce? And at that point, Taylor Dosey happens to be there, and he busts in. And
yeah,
says,
I didn't even notice him. No, he turned around.
Yeah, he was sitting up at the counter.
Yeah, the booth. Yeah.
But he turns around and he says, what he means is he won't spruce. That's what he means. And Luke says, Taylor, do not start.
Yeah.
And of course, Taylor does start. And he goes on and on about it, saying, me and the rest of the town beautification committee have been hounding him for years to freshen up the place. Maybe a couple of nice zinnia pots out front, some yellow awnings, a peppy little cardboard pig announcing the specials. But he's a mule.
Uh-huh.
He won't talk. He won't reason. He won't spruce. You might as well forget it, Lorelai. I'm forgetting it, too.
Yeah.
And Luke says, finally, a Taylor Dozy position I can get behind. So Taylor goes on and on about how bad the paint reflects badly on the town. And Luke reminds him he was supposed to be giving up. And Taylor just says standards slip and they'll lose people and the seedy crowd will come into Stars Hollow.
Yeah, wasn't he all about preserving the oldness of the town?
Yeah.
It and paint, like, anyway, sprucing up.
You can't have both, dude.
Yeah. He's like the town patrol, law patrol, you know?
He says that standards will slip and the seedy crowd will come in.
HOA.
And Lorelai says, right here in River City.
Yeah.
And Taylor says, this is not funny, Lorelai. But of course, she's going to make a joke out of anything.
Oh, yeah, like me.
And so Luke's trying to take it off topic and ask if anyone wants anything. And of course, Lorelai's on the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
And she wants to know why he won't paint the place. And he says it's a pain. He'd have to close. He can't afford to. Or else he'd have to paint in the middle of the night and he hates painting. And Lorelai naturally offers to help him. She loves painting, turns out.
And Taylor's getting this sense that what Lorelai wants.
Lorelai,
she
gets.
Turns Luke's head like the neck in Big Fat Greek Wedding.
He's not doing anything at this point, but he is paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
He's listening.
Oh, he deserves everything.
So as soon as Lorelai makes it clear to Luke that she loves painting, he says, you do?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, yes, I do. He said, you love it? And she says, I want to marry it. And he says, you have strange passions.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him that they'll have a couple of drinks. They'll sing some painting songs. Luke is baffled by the idea of painting songs. And she starts going on and making up this silly song right off the bat. She said, yeah, painting songs. Like, you know, the song that goes, And she starts singing, grab your brush and grab your rollers, all you kids and all you bowlers.
Yeah.
We're going painting today. Say yes, or there's going to be another verse.
The only thing equivalent I could think of is Snow White. Hi ho, hi ho, it's off to paint we go.
Yeah.
I don't know any good painting songs.
You know. And he says, well, I guess maybe if I had help. And Taylor turns around and goes, really? Oh my God, that's wonderful. Hurrah!
Yeah.
And Luke says, Taylor, it's not for you, it's for me.
And there it is.
And I'm calling BS on this one because he was 100% against it until Lorelai suggested helping out.
There it is.
And once again, are you sensing a pattern here?
Yeah, like I said, the Big Fat Greek Wedding, she's the neck that turns the head.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the man the head, she says, but she's the neck that turns the head anywhere she wants it to go.
And she did.
And he's like, you see a man, because she makes him think he came up with the idea.
Uh-huh.
But see, that's how smart the woman is. I'm going to give y'all credit out there, ladies. Girl power, like I said.
Yep. So Taylor is all excited about telling the committee. He's just beside himself. He's jumping up and leaving to go tell everybody. And Luke's like, I hate that he's pleased. And Lorelai says, aw, you'll drop a gum wrapper on the street in front of his store later.
Yeah.
And Luke's like, yeah, good idea.
Yeah, that set him off.
And I love this friendly but contentious relationship between Luke and Taylor.
Yeah.
It just makes for some great entertainment on the show.
Oh, we saw that at the first town meeting.
Oh, gosh, yes. And it just gets better throughout
gold,
the season.
Pure gold, yeah.
It gets better throughout the seasons.
Yeah.
So, later in the episode, we're back at Luke's again. And this time, they're kind of alone. And it's after hours. And Lorelai's trying to sell Luke a color scheme that reminds her of a French bistro.
Oh, God.
But he points out that this is not a French bistro. And she's
maybe
like,
Jack's Bistro.
Yeah.
For Three's Company.
She's like, really? Huh. She said, it's amazing the things you learn when you bother to listen. Luke says, which you usually don't. And Lorelai says, yes, but then I don't have a lot of useless information intruding in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, now, if you want to do more warm, golden, Tuscan countryside,
oh, good luck.
He says, then I'd go to Italy.
Yeah.
And so then she tries getting him to agree to an English country garden theme and some stenciling. And they're doing their usual banter that seems to have been growing over the last few episodes. And she says, excuse me, do you even know what stenciling is? And he says, does Martha Stewart do it? And she says, yes. And he says, no, stenciling. I just thought that was funny.
We're pretty much together when it comes to decorating and color schemes.
We are.
We don't usually have to debate it much because we have our own wedding colors.
Yeah, we tend to stick to that. Obviously, our wedding colors were navy blue and silver with light blue and white accents. And it's just such a classy color scheme. It's soothing for me. It's not too loud. It matches so much. I love being surrounded by it. And we tend to do a lot of our decorating in our wedding colors.
And something else is in the works we're going to do with those colors, but it just makes me feel comforted for some reason. I guess it goes back to our wedding.
Yeah, plus it just makes it makes me think of our wedding every time I look at it.
Yeah, it invokes those emotions of that day. It's just special to us, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we did our living room in our wedding colors.
Yeah.
We painted and did one of our bathrooms in our wedding colors.
Like I said, we have something in the works. It's just significant to us.
We do have something
that word
coming.
Again.
There's that word again. You're going to end up trying
to tell that story. If y'all want to know that story, message us and we might share it to you privately.
Yeah, we can't say it on the podcast.
It's not one for the podcast.
Because it's kind of...
crass.
It's a little crass.
Yeah. To leave it at that.
But it was an accident and I was a little girl and I didn't know what I was saying.
And you know how your parents, like, I will tell this story. It's like when your parents think you're doing something cute. I would go around singing Hot Legs. I was like 3 years old. I didn't know what Rod Stewart song. I didn't know what it meant. And I would sing it. They just, dude, sing it again. Sing it again. They just laughed. And it reminds me of our daughter.
Yeah, don't tell that story.
Okay, tell you that story too if you write it.
Yeah, both of those would not work on the podcast.
Mine was clean, so I went ahead and shared that.
For us to keep the podcast clean, we can't tell either of those stories.
If y'all have any of those stories, send them to us, because I'd love to hear those.
Oh, yeah, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
And we would, of course, love to tell you those two stories, but we just can't on the podcast.
We will in private if you so desire. Yeah.
All right, so Taylor and Kirk come back in, and Taylor's basically using Kirk as his go-between and telling Kirk to talk to Luke and ask him something. So he asks if Luke is indeed thinking of painting. And Lorelai says, yes, he is. And Kirk says, excuse me, I'd like to hear it from him. Luke, is it true? And he actually stumbles over it.
Yeah.
Is it true? And Luke says, yes, Kirk, it is true. And Kirk's like, really? And Luke says, yes. And Kirk's like, and that's your final decision? And Luke's like, I'm afraid it is. And he says, because it's not too late. And Taylor busts
in. He's trying. He's rooting for him.
Yeah. And Taylor busts in and says, you heard him. He's painting the place. Pay up.
Yeah, there it is.
So, there we go.
It was a bet.
Kirk hands Taylor some money and heads for the door. So, apparently, there had been a bet going on there. And Kirk lost it. And Luke goes, sorry, man. Kirk said, it's a little too late for that, don't you think?
Yeah, that's like that song, a little too late to apologize.
Yeah.
I love that song. This reminds me of the movie... Guys and Dolls, actually.
Oh, I love that
where
movie.
Nathan Detroit, who knew the ratio of cheesecake to strudel was being sold at Mandy's restaurant, so he tried to use the intel to make a large bet. He thought he could win against Sky Masterson, but Sky was too sharp for him, unlike poor Kirk here.
Yeah. But if you have not seen that movie, that is good. I am so proud that you remember that reference.
Well, I didn't want to rock the boat.
Yeah. But this was an older classic musical that I made you watch.
Yeah. Well, you didn't tie me down and force me.
Oh, come on. A lot of the stuff that I make you watch, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, but I'm very open to new things.
You just go ahead and do it because you have to. But
no.
You ended up loving it, though, by the way.
You have broadened my horizons. And,
I definitely have.
But I do enjoy things.
Yes.
I never thought I would.
That's true.
Jane Eyre. And,
I turned you on to period movies.
Austin, yeah. All those.
So they're leaving as Lorelai's looking at paint samples. Obviously, Taylor's going to stop and look and put in his opinion, which just has Luke rolling his eyes because Luke can't stand Taylor putting in his opinion on anything. All right, so later on in the episode, Lorelai is taking Luke all around the diner. She's showing him different color combos that she has put on the wall for him to choose from. And at one point, she stops and she dims the lights to give the room some ambience and asks him what he thinks then. But he has no idea. Andrew bursts in with a camera and starts taking pictures. And Luke is asking, what are you doing? And Andrew's like, he's explaining that the town council wanted a before and after poster.
Okay.
And Luke's like, out. Get out.
That's Taylor's
door. So he, Luke flips the sign to closed and he locks the door. And Lorelai's like, you know, listen, since you have to take everything off the walls to decide what stuff you're going to keep and what stuff you're going to get rid of. And she was going somewhere with that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But Luke says everything stays. And she says, okay, there's a plastic dancing pork chop that says, he says, everything stays. And she said, I lost my head over a good shop. You should too. So she's quoting what the pig
what
says.
What she wants.
No, she's quoting what the pig
yeah,
the
but what she wants says because yeah. she wants it.
And he keeps insisting everything is going to stay. See? He says the place has not been painted since his dad was alive.
Oh, yeah.
He said the place was his dad's life, and he says his too.
Oh.
He says he spent pretty much every minute there when he wasn't in school and sometimes when he was.
Yeah.
In his dad's store. And Lorelai asks why he opened a diner instead of just keeping it a hardware store. And he says that, I don't know, I didn't love the hardware business the way my dad did, and, you know, I knew how to cook, so I just thought a diner would be more fun. And she says, that's a hard word for you to say.
Yeah, when have you heard him say fun?
Yeah, very
he's always grouchy.
And he laughs and he says, yeah, I just always wanted to work here just where dad did.
Oh, that's nice.
And she says, God, that's nice. She said, to be so, I don't know, connected to your dad. She said, that's, and she pauses and she says, I would have loved that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this, the first few times I've seen this episode, I don't know if I was asleep during this scene or what, but I never really gave much thought into what she just said. It kind of flew over my head, but she is alluding to her own relationship with her father and how she's wishing that she had had that kind of relationship with Richard.
Yeah, I don't think you were asleep during that because I'm usually narcolepsy boy. And
yeah,
I'm
you
usually
are.
The one that gets the anointed elbow into my side. Wake up.
Wake up.
Watch this with me. Yeah, this touched me because I see both sides of it. I've lived it.
Yep.
Being close to my granddad and then not so much my father. He was kind of absent. And we're going to get to that in the next episode more in depth. It did touch me.
Yeah, it did me too. But Luke mentions that there's a spot somewhere on the wall where his dad had taken an order one day. He ran out of paper and he wrote it on the wall. And the two start kind of crawling around on the floor, or she does behind the counter to where she tries to find it, and she does. And when she finds it, he kind of joins her down there. And she tells him that when they do the spruce, they need to leave this particular spot alone.
Yeah, that's nice.
He didn't have to sit down on the floor next to her when she sat down on the floor. He could have just remarked from standing up, just saying.
Oh, this is totally a man move to get into position to be more intimate and closer to the one you desire.
That's how I saw it.
He's playing it.
So he says the place could definitely use a spruce. And she says, but just maybe not this particular spot.
This is her letting him know that she understands his need to hold on to the past and his dad and the closeness to him. It was special to him. And he needs a little spruce, though, in his personal life.
Yeah.
A little splash of Lorelai, might I say.
Yes, definitely.
She's giving him the invite.
She's definitely giving him the look.
Yeah.
And he's smiling pretty intimately at her.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the tension is off the charts for me.
They
actually might have kissed here.
This is building.
If not for what happens next.
Oh, yeah. God.
The townspeople are trying to get into the diner suddenly. They're at the door, at the windows, and Luke and Lorelai on their hands and knees, and they're peeking around the counter.
Yeah.
And when it pans back to them after it shows you Taylor and the others at the window and door, he is practically leaning over her, and she's looking over her shoulder at him. That's swear their heads are literally only like 4 inches apart.
Yeah, and at this point, you know, I was like, lean, Luke, lean.
I know.
All you have to do, she's give, you know, I don't,
she was
it's
giving
frustrating
him,
me. I'm sorry.
She was giving him the come get it.
Look, I'm sorry.
I know. She gives a big pause. She gives him a look, a little head tilt, all the signals. But then she finally, when he doesn't do anything, says that she has to go. So they awkwardly say goodbye.
Yeah.
And when she walks out the door, he takes a deep breath when she leaves and then takes a drink of beer.
Yeah, he needs a little bit something stronger than that beer because, I mean, good Lord, dude. I mean, I know they're teasing us with it.
It's agonizing. So Lorelai returns home to discover that the chick is missing from its cage. She immediately yells, Stella! Which is such a cute shout out to a streetcar named Desire. Because, you know, that scene is great. She says, oh no, no, no. Okay, Stella, do something. Show yourself. Molt or chirp or something. Oh, this is so not funny. Not funny, not funny. Oh, this is so unbelievable. All day long, just chirps like a maniac at the top of her lungs. Now, nothing. Silence. Marcel Marceau chicken. Okay, that's okay. I can fix this. We can fix this. So she then gets on the phone and calls Luke. And she says, Luke, Stella got out and I don't know. Do I put seed on the floor? Do I make cheeping sounds? Or do I pull a Ricky Ricardo and walk like a chicken so she thinks I'm her mother? And he says, who the hell is this? And Lorelai's like, what do you mean, who is this? It's Lorelai.
Yeah, she's panicking.
Who else would call you looking for... Jesus. Yeah, who else would call you looking for her baby chick? He says, you're right, I'm the idiot. Go on. And she says, could you come over here, please, and help me? And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll be right over. So when he arrives, he mentions that the place is a disaster because she's tore it apart looking for this chick.
Yeah.
And she starts explaining where all the chick had went and where she'd had to tear things up to get to it and try to get to it. And the entire time he's following her around and he's got this big, huge grin on his face like he doesn't believe her.
Yeah, this reminds me of that movie House Sitter when Goldie Hawn tells Steve Martin he can use her phone.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, sure, why not? But when he gets up there, he finds out that she doesn't even have a phone. And he's like, but you said you did. And she's like, no, you weren't asking to use my phone. You were asking me to have sex. He was like, no, I wasn't. I was asking to use the phone. And then, but then it dawned on him. She said yes.
Yeah. So, and they end up having sex.
Yeah.
Very similar. And I think he's seeing this as that until he finds out that there truly is a missing chick. He thinks that this is just one of those situations, that it was kind of code for something else. But then they spot her.
Yeah.
And he seems actually surprised to discover that there really is a baby chick missing in the house. So they both run after her, and Luke makes the comment, oh my gosh, you really do have a baby chick in the house, and they keep chasing it. And she's like, well, don't step on her. And he's like, she cut right in front of me. She's like, okay, well, she's being graded, so let's not squash her.
Yeah.
And he said, well, then tell her to watch where she's going.
Well, when he first came in the door, the way she grabbed him and pulled him in, I would have thought too that there was something else than a chicken there.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
So later in the episode, some time has passed, they are still looking for the chick, and they're discussing all of the different places that they've already looked. They can't find her anywhere, so Lorelai says, well, then she went under the chair and threw a hole in the floor. And Luke's like, there is no hole in the floor. And she says, well, maybe there was a hole in the floor and she crawled through it and fixed it. And he said, so she's a super intelligent chick with great physical and deductive skills. And Lorelai's like, yes. And he says, oh, this is so not a chick I want to find.
Yeah.
And she says, hey, Luke, what did you mean earlier? Just out of the blue. Yeah. You know, they're talking about one thing and all of a sudden she's just sitting there with this serious look on her face. And he says, what are you talking about? And she says, when you got here, you made some comment about me not really having a chick in the house. And he doesn't seem to want to answer, but Lorelai pushes him on it. And she says, I mean, if I didn't have a chick here, why did you think I was calling you? And he kind of hem-haws around for a second and he says, nah, I thought you were calling about the chick. And she's like, it didn't seem like that. I thought it was funny that she picked up on that and asked why he said that. And he's actually stuttering and trying to change the subject. He obviously thought her phone call was indeed code for something else, but she's not buying it.
Yeah, I thought she was playing games with him, but she really doesn't understand. She didn't even think about it that
way.
No. But I did think she was. But anyways, it reminds me of us when you confront me about something, I try to change the subject and avoid the confrontation. That's what men do, ladies, so just be warned.
Well, I don't let him get away with it because, you know, I'm a bulldog. I will keep at it until I get it out. So
die until you die, but I'd probably die before she'd let me die.
So they finally spot the chick and they give chase.
Yeah.
So Lorelai is putting the chick away in the next scene. And she's like, she's never going anywhere ever again. She says, I'm thinking of slipping some super glue on the bottom of the cage. That would be bad, right? I mean, I know staplers are bad, but what's the verdict on glue? And Luke's like, ask Stella. Luke is going to take a broken lamp outside to the trash. And Lorelai says, you know, he doesn't have to worry with it, but he gives her a smile and he says he wants to get it out of the house. Some of it's sharp, you know. He's smiling and he looks really at home in her house.
Yeah, and I'm surprised he hasn't made a move on her because he does have some game. I mean, he
obviously
did have that Rachel girlfriend that he mentioned the last episode, and she was no slouch because Suki described her as a L. McPherson kind of pretty, after all.
And Lorelai was like, yeah, that's an intense kind of pretty. Yeah, so you bring up a good point. To me, the reason he's showing less game with Lorelai is because I think that he's actually more intimidated by her to an extent. It means more to him because she means more. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like she means more, so he does doesn't want to screw anything up. And yeah. I think that he's just kind of a little afraid to make a move, maybe.
So you think he's even more invested in Lorelai than he was with Rachel, who he was going to marry?
For sure.
Okay.
It's just not stated yet. It's there to me. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, he is treading lightly. I will say that.
So Luke goes outside to take the trash out just as Dean is stepping out of Babette's door. Because remember, the last time we visited Rory and Dean, he was doing the man's job and was going to take out the trash while she did the dishes.
Yeah, this is like a double walk of shame scenario. So
they both come out the door carrying trash, and they're on their way to the trash cans. They meet between the two houses. They each ask the other what they're doing there.
Yeah.
And Luke says, "I'm looking for a chick." And Dean goes, "Yeah, me too." And he says, "You are not." And Dean's like, "Well, neither are you." And at that point, Lorelai comes out and sees Luke and Dean. And then Rory comes out of Babette's house saying that the jello is melted.
Yeah.
And she sees her mom and Luke. This was so hysterically awkward on all sides. Because it's like they're all caught. You know, Lorelai's getting caught with Luke and Rory is getting caught with Dean.
Well, one thing to take out the trash. I mean, Dean was more innocent in this scenario. Luke looks very suspicious with the broken lamp. Like, what did y'all do to break that lamp? You know what I'm saying? That's what my first thought was. That's a little obvious there, Luke.
Yeah, you do make a good point there.
I broke a few lamps in my time. Well, I didn't. But there was a few lamps broken in my time.
Things have been broken.
That I can tell you.
So awkwardness ensues here as the four of them are confronted with each other. And Luke and Dean take the opportunity both to get out of there. And Lorelai's like, "Well, okay, you're 16. She's saying to Rory.
Yeah.
"You have a whole house to yourself for the evening. I expect that you're going to have your boyfriend over. But what is with the apron?" And Rory's like, "It's a long story." And she says, "Did it involve a sharp blow to the head?" And Rory's like, "I got to go check on Apricot." And Lorelai goes, "Oh my God, I just saw the pearls." Because Rory's wearing pearls. Yeah. And she says, "I'm going in now." And Lorelai says, "You know what? I'm going inside too, because I have to write down all the ways I'm going to torture you about that outfit."
Blackmail.
Yeah. So Rory goes inside, but Lorelai's calling after her saying, "Could I just get a picture though?"
There it is.
Because visual aids would really help. And then she goes, oh, the shoes. I'm dying. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Rory. If you do that again, just don't... Well, this is a negative connotation. Just don't wear the shoes, but then that would be barefoot and pregnant kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. So, yeah, keep the shoes on, Rory.
So, as Lorelai is still tripping out over this outfit and the shoes and the pearls and all that, Rory comes rushing out and says that she cannot find Apricot the kitten.
Oh, Lord.
And Lorelai says, "Okay, that's it. We are not animal people, period."
Yeah.
So...
But they don't stick to that. We'll find out later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that kind of catches us up to the point where
we heard about that little hamster. Poor Skippy.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a memoriam.
A memoriam in remembrance of Skippy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've now finished the Dean, Rory, and Lorelai, Luke portion.
Okay.
And we're going to move on to those two extra scenes that I mentioned were important. So this first one starts out with Suki arguing with Michelle over the fact that he wanted an egg white omelet. And she had said, you know, that she wanted to make a compromise. And the compromise turned out to be a 3-egg omelet with goat cheese cooked in sherry olive oil. And he reminds her that he doesn't eat dairy or meat, and she knows it. And Lorelai starts eating the omelet. And Michelle says, "But someday all of this will catch up with you," he's saying to Lorelai.
Yes.
"You will become the balloon lady. With any luck, I will be here to enjoy it."
Yeah, I love that.
So after he stomps out, Lorelai asks if Suki wants to hear about her night. And she explains about the baby chick getting loose in the house, all about Rory still being up at 1 a.m. looking for Babette and Maury's kitten. And Suki makes a comment about the wild kingdom. And then she asks, "So how's Rory's chicken?" And Lorelai's like, "Better than my lemon lamb." And Suki's like, "What's the matter with your lemon lamb?" And she says, "Luke killed it." So Suki asks, "What was Luke doing there?" And Lorelai tells her,
"Like I said, that lamp's suspect."
And Lorelai says, "You know, Luke said the strangest thing to her." And she says, "Well, he got there and I was looking for Stella, and he said, 'Oh, you really do have a baby chick loose in the house.' Like I made that up, or I don't know."
Yeah.
And Suki goes, "Well,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And Lorelai's like, "Well, what?" And Suki says, "Well, when you call someone and you say, 'Can you come over and help me look for my loose chick?' It's a little..." And Lorelai's like, "A little what?"
Suspicious.
And Suki's like, "It sounds like code for..." Yeah. "I'm not wearing any underwear."
Exactly.
And Lorelai says, "That's not code for 'I'm not wearing any underwear.'" And Suki says, "Okay.
It's in my book."
Right. And Suki says, and Lorelai says, "Suki, you're not serious." And she says, "Look, the first time Jackson and I, you know..."
Yeah, you know. Wink, wink.
And Yeah.
Yeah.
Suki's having to spell this out for Lorelai.
Yeah, Suki's having to spell this out for Lorelai. You know, much like the Seinfeld. I'm going to bring Seinfeld up again. I do it at least once or twice episode. But when Jerry
I'll
tells...
I'll be interested to find out if there's ever an episode of this podcast where you were unable to find a significant Seinfeld
reference
well,
I don't
you
know.
Can use.
I don't know when I started, but it's been the
Day
last...
one.
Has it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a fun fact for you people. But yeah, Jerry tells George that he's an idiot because... his girlfriend that he's dating asked him up to have coffee, you know, like a nightcap.
Yep.
And he tells her, no, I don't drink coffee this late. It keeps me up. And she kind of gets huffy and slams the door and walks off. And then he goes and tells Jerry about it later. And he's like, you idiot. She wanted to have sex with you. That's code for sex. Coffee is sex. So George is like freaking out. He calls her up and he's like, I like coffee. I didn't know that when you asked me up for coffee, you were actually asking me up for coffee. But I do like coffee. So I do want coffee in the future. But anyways, the girl don't want had nothing else to do with him. It was
yeah.
just funny. You know, that ship sailed long ago, George. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, much,
you gave up coffee. Sorry.
Much
and
like,
Lorelai loves coffee. I just want to throw that in.
Well, yeah, there is that.
And Luke dishes out some good coffee.
Yeah, Luke gives good
I'm
coffee.
Sorry, I'm getting out of, yep. getting out of line here.
Luke does give good coffee.
Sorry, people.
She always says his coffee is the best.
And she goes 2-3 times a day sometimes
yeah,
to
yeah.
get her Luke fix.
Yeah. Okay.
Go on.
Okay.
I'm losing it.
So, yes. So she is kind of, your story is, however, relevant.
Hold it together. Keep
Suki
it together.
Is having to be a Jerry here, a Jerry
yeah.
Seinfeld here, and is basically having to smack Lorelai in the head with the truth. Like, hello, Lorelai. You know, hello, McFly.
No,
you know.
No, hello, McLorelai. It's like
yeah.
hitting her over the head with the future Biff's cane.
Yeah.
The little fist.
So Suki says, yeah, I called him up and I told him I had a bat in my attic. And Lorelai's like, well, honey, you do have a bat in your attic. And Suki says, so he came over and went in the attic. And he knew there was no bat, and I knew there was no bat. But we pretended to look for it, and then we couldn't find the bat. We went downstairs, and we had a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, so you're saying Luke thought I made up a crazy story about a chick being loose in the house just to get him in bed? And Suki said, not just to get him into bed, but maybe he thought you wanted to see him, and you didn't
yeah.
know how to say it.
Could have just been innocent.
And she says, a woman asking a man to come over late at night to her house?
Yeah.
Come
wink,
on.
Wink. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorelai says, yeah, but this is Luke we're talking about.
He's still a man.
And Suki says, uh-huh. Why did? And then she says, why did you call him?
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, because I needed help. And Suki's not buying it, you know, and starts rattling off all these other people, including herself, that Lorelai could have called.
Yeah. It's like, is that what you crazy kids are calling it today? The chick, the bat. But anyways,
yeah.
when you're really into someone, even on a subconscious level, I think you tend to do anything to be around that person.
Oh, yeah. Proximity is key. That's very true. I mean, and sometimes I don't even think you realize you're doing it.
That reminds me of when we first got together and I was...
We were dating.
Yeah. I had a job where I had to do annual training. It was 100 miles away. It was about almost 2 hours distance. I was supposed to stay there for the week, but every afternoon I'd come back home and then go back in the morning just to spend a few hours with you.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that so you do some crazy stuff. When
that was nice.
Yeah, that's that puppy
and
stage love.
And then
you know?
When you worked that, and your job was a night job.
Yeah.
And you would call me from your night job.
And I wasn't supposed to be on
and
the phone.
Yes, and
but
you were
I would talk for hours. Yes.
You would talk for hours, and I would read to you over the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would listen, even though you don't like books.
No, I do like books on tape and stuff, though.
That's
so
true.
So it was good for me.
I think I started that for you.
Possibly.
Yeah. So Lorelai finally asks, what is Suki's point? And Suki says, my point is that you called Luke. Out of all the people in town that you could have called, that could have come over and dropped what they were doing, you called Luke.
That was very telling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what she's saying.
And Lorelai said, because I had just been with him. We were picking out paint samples.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was on my mind. It was purely a timing thing.
Like I said, you... subconsciously.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You don't
so
even
then,
think.
So then Suki starts making a thing about them being together looking at paint samples together.
Uh-huh.
So they could paint together. And she says, uh-huh, which I believe was your idea. And Lorelai says, okay, so now the fact that I suggested painting Luke Steiner also means that I wanted to get him in bed. All of a sudden, I'm trying to get any poor unsuspecting person in bed with me. I'm like, I'm Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
And Suki starts to say more, but Lorelai thanks her for the omelet and she's avoiding, or
yeah.
seems to be.
Where's the door?
She, yeah. To me, the end of this conversation, it's quite clear she does not want this pointed out to her that she has a thing for Luke. She speeds out of that conversation looking very frustrated and exasperated, possibly even a little bit irritated at Suki at being told this. Well, she doesn't want to hear it.
She's not at that point where she wants to admit it to herself yet.
No.
Like I said, it's that subconscious level right now.
Right. And Suki says, okay, you know, Luke is a really nice man. And all she says is, bye, Suki.
Later.
So, yeah.
Later, baby, out.
So then later in the episode, we are at Friday night dinner. So the episode, we had a Friday night dinner earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And just to quickly recap what that one was about, at the beginning of the episode, that Friday night dinner, the Gilmores were basically just complaining that they'd waited too late and had lost their annual place that they go to at Martha's Vineyard to take their trip for the year.
Yeah.
So now we're at Friday night dinner again, and they're on the phone with some guy who is securing them a place at Martha's Vineyard.
I think his name was John.
Yes, John. Yeah. But they're having to argue with John about it at first.
Yeah.
Before it's solidified. And Rory and Lorelai are just sitting on the couch watching the two of them argue with each other while John's in the background going, Emily, Richard. Every 2 seconds he's having to go, Emily, Richard. And that Lorelai and Rory are just sitting there eating a bag of peanuts and just watching them debate like they're watching a movie.
Well, it is.
Fascinated.
It is a bit like a circus act going off. I mean, it's very entertaining.
Oh, it was. Yeah. And they had the looks on their face as if as if there was a TV in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
So once they've hung up with John, they are so excited that they got the place. They are saying that they were able to do it because the owner, Arthur Rowntree, had died. Yeah. And Richard said he'd been drinking. And the two of them are...
Like that explains his
yeah.
death.
And the two of them are grinning like Cheshire cats. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, the both of you are going directly to hell. I hope you know that. Richard says, well, at least we'll be well rested.
Yeah, and then he laughs.
Yeah,
it's not like they were celebrating some Scrooge.
No.
I mean, he seemed like a nice guy, I guess. He just had to drink.
Then they start talking about how the only drawback to the new place was that they had to get it furnished, and Arthur had dreadful taste. And Richard starts explaining one of the rooms and how awful it had been. And Lorelai says, well, he's dead now, so he got his.
Yeah.
And they look over at her and react like she said something awful. And they accuse her of being morbid.
Yeah, it's like she...
It's I don't know.
I love that Richard and Emily, they tend to steal the show in these scenes, but they had reacted like she had the audacity to say something that dreadful when they had just laughed over him being dead and being well-rested, you know?
Well, one, yes, you are correct. They are so good at playing these two characters. Number two, I think it is appalling most of the time, but yet you can't help but be entertained by them. I mean...
And that's not the first time we've said this.
No.
They're both great together.
Oh, yeah. They play off each other so well.
Good chemistry, and they play those parts well.
So, Emily asked, but I did find it kind of funny, though, that they're getting to say all this horrible stuff about...
Exactly.
This man.
She just tried to join in, and...
She put in a statement that was no worse than the two that they had already made, but they look horrified by what
she
said.
How dare
she?
Yeah.
Anyway, going on.
Double standard.
Emily asks Rory what's new for her, and she mentions homework, and Lorelai says, and aprons.
Payback.
And Rory says, Rory says, do not go there.
Yeah.
And Emily says, what does she mean, aprons? And Lorelai says, nothing. I was just teasing her.
Mm-hmm.
Emily says, about aprons? I don't understand. And Lorelai says, nothing. Rory just dressed up in a cute apron the other day, and so I was teasing her about it. And Richard's like, why did you get dressed up in an apron? And Lorelai pauses, and I almost feel like she paused as if, do I want to go here and do this joke, or do I want to leave off?
Well, I love Rory's face. She even had like a tick on her
lip. Rory looked over her like, please don't.
Yeah, her little lip had a tick in it.
Yes.
Pained look on her face.
Very pained look.
It was great.
And finally, Lorelai decides to go for it, and she says, well, we've decided to give up on that pesky Harvard dream and focus on something more realistic. Mom, Dad, Rory's decided to become a maid, just like I was.
Okay.
Both Richard and Emily act like she has committed a horrible crime by even suggesting such a thing.
Yeah.
And Emily says, my God, my heart stopped.
And she grabbed her chest.
And do we want to say something here about how judgmental they are of what their daughter did at a young age to support herself and her baby? Like, it was something akin to being gum on your shoe.
It just spoke to me, like, to say that right in front of her, like, that would be the ultimate disappointment to us, much like you're a disappointment to us.
Yes.
It just struck me very hard.
Yeah, it struck me wrong. So, Lorelai kind of gets out of that. She looks over at Rory and she says, why don't you tell them about your bird? That seems like a safe subject.
Yeah.
And Richard's like, your bird? And Rory choices. Yeah, it's for school. Each of us have to follow a chick through its entire growth process. Everything has to be logged, eating habits, sleeping habits. And Lorelai says, Houdini habits. And Rory says, she got out. And Lorelai goes, she ran off. And Rory says, but she lived. And Lorelai says, she's a better bird for it.
Yeah.
And then Rory goes, thank God Luke found her.
I think everybody knows who Houdini was, but if you don't, if you're younger, he was the greatest escape artist, magician, illusionist, all that.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Look him up. Amazing. Go more him. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's fascinating.
But Emily picks up on this immediately, and she says, Luke found her? And Lorelai says, paying me back for the apron thing, huh? To Rory. And Rory says, sorry. And Emily says, did the bird get loose at Luke's diner? And Emily looks concerned and questions her. Lorelai changes the subject by saying that she's going to go and get some ice.
It's funny that she chose ice, but they were out of it. But Luke was known as the Iceman by Emily. She calls him the Iceman.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But Emily won't let it go. She follows her into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And Lorelai has to admit that the bird got loose in her house. And she tries to change the subject. Emily won't leave it alone, though.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she's like she's a pit bull there.
Asking why Luke was there.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorelai keeps trying to change the subject. She finally has to admit that Luke was helping her with the bird.
Yeah.
And Emily says, and how did he know that the bird was missing? What, was he strolling by your house and he heard your plaintive cries for help?
Good Lord.
And Lorelai's like, I called him, Mom, okay?
Yeah.
I called him and asked him to come over and help me look for the bird, okay? And Emily says, it seems like this man is always around when you're in trouble.
Yep.
And Lorelai says, he's a good friend. And Emily says, oh, please. And Lorelai's like, do we have to discuss this?
Now she's having to get it from her mother. Everyone sees it but her.
Yes, it's easy to see.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why she is being so obstinate in admitting it to herself.
Yeah.
It's like, just so crazy.
Like you said earlier, it's Biff with his cane again.
Yeah.
Hello, McLorelai. Anybody home?
Yes. So Emily says, Lorelai, I'm getting a little tired of being lied to.
Yeah.
And she says, this man was at Rory's birthday party. He came to the hospital with you.
Check.
He's the male lead in every story you tell.
Check.
You go to the diner every single day.
Multiple times.
I've seen the way he looks at you. The way you look at him, I'm not a fool.
Yep.
Why do you treat me like I don't have a clue in the world as to what is going on in your life? Now, I'm asking you as a favor. If you have any respect for me at all as your mother, just tell me. Do you have feelings for this man?
I was going to give Emily snaps on this.
Yeah.
But continue.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah.
Lorelai pauses for a very long moment, and finally she says, I don't know. And then she says, maybe I do.
Yeah.
I haven't given it much thought. Exactly. And then she pauses again, and she says, maybe I do.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily says, thank you. I'm glad you were finally honest with me. Now, if she had stopped I would have been snaps for Emily.
Yeah.
But then she has to go on and say,
of course.
Now we can discuss what on earth you could possibly be thinking. And she leaves the kitchen and says, don't forget the ice.
Yeah.
But I have to say, finally, Lorelai has admitted it to herself. And I do believe it was more about admitting it to herself than to her mother.
Yeah.
But she finally let it out.
The way she got her to admit it and then immediately dismissed it. And then she added that, don't forget the ice. That was another slam on the Iceman, too, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
She thinks of him as the Iceman.
Yeah, that's true. She's called him that more than once.
Uh-huh. So she'll eventually start calling him Diner Boy or Diner Guy or whoever, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for now, it's Iceman.
I believe it later becomes Filthy Diner Owner.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Yeah, that's worse.
It morphs into that, yeah.
Okay, so...
Good job, Emily.
Later in the episode, Luke and Lorelai are outside of the diner, making trips back and forth from his truck to the diner door, and they're carrying paint supplies. He's asking if she really thinks that they're going to need that many cans of paint, and she assures him he is going to need 2 coats. And Luke checks off all the things they bought, and they talk about when they're gonna do it. And Lorelai suggests next Friday after she has her Friday night dinner. So
we know she wants to get out as soon as she possibly can.
I can get out a little bit early and we'll make an evening of it.
And she wants to.
And he looks happy about it. Yeah. She looks happy about it, and then she skips off. I mean, they looked like they were sharing a moment again.
And it's almost like a non-date.
Exactly.
Unspoken date.
So Luke goes into the diner just as Rory walks up to where Lorelai's at, and they're about to go into Dozie's Market for Lorelai to get some stuff when a motorcycle rolls up.
Uh-oh.
And the rider says, hey, to Lorelai. And she says, hey, back. The rider says, nice shirt. Take it off.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, at first I was like, WTF's going right on there?
And then he takes off his helmet, and Lorelai just says his name. And she says, Christopher.
And there he is.
And we know, of course, that Christopher is Rory's dad. Mm-hmm. So this is the person who got Lorelai pregnant.
And for those of you that don't know, Rory immediately goes, "Dad,
Dad,"
and then runs to him.
And then runs off. Yes. So Lorelai says, "So what's with just showing up, Mr. Spontaneity guy?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, my folks are back in Connecticut, so I'm here to see them. And on the way, I thought I'd stop by and surprise the Gilmore girls. Are you surprised?" And Lorelai says, "Oh, the teensiest feather could knock me in the gutter."
Yeah.
And so Christopher says, "So where would somebody find some place to stay around here?" And Rory's like, "Stay? Really? You're staying?" And obviously she's very excited to see him.
Yeah.
And you kind of get the feeling that she does not get to see him very much.
Oh, no. It's like when Kurt Russell on Backdraft tells his brother, "You never call, you never write."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Christopher said, "Thinking about it." And Rory says, "Stay with us." And Lorelai seems a little uncomfortable, which Christopher picks up on. And he starts to suggest that she doesn't want him to stay. But she just says she was just surprised. And she offers for him to stay for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So at that point, he tells Rory to hop on his motorcycle. And he, you know, he says, "Hop on." And Lorelai goes, hop off.
Yeah.
And they each repeat that a couple of times before finally Lorelai relents.
Yeah.
And Rory gets on and they drive away. And Lorelai just kind of stares after them and she says his name again. And that was the end of the episode. I just have to say, this is so frustrating for me. Just as she's starting to get close to Luke, at any time, something or someone has to enter to derail it. First it's Max, then it's Rachel.
Yeah.
Now it's Christopher. I am very frustrated, Mark.
Well, I concur. Also, you got Miss Kim, you got Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
And even Luke himself has blocked himself.
Yep.
So you got all these blockers going on. It's the worst case of smoking the bandit I've ever seen. But where do I begin with this cluster? I mean, you... It's just as things look promising, her old flame comes riding into town on his Indian chief. You know, this reminds me of Grease 2, actually, and I know you hate this, but it's
love the movie.
It's a guilty pleasure
of
mine.
Of both of us, yeah. And I got you into it.
Well, I didn't want to speak for you on that, but that song, "Who's That Guy?" As he's rolling up, they're both looking. You know, out of the darkness he came.
Uh-huh.
But you know,
yeah,
but then Lorelai needs a cool rider like Michelle Pfeiffer. You know that song, COOLRIDI. Mm-hmm. She's bouncing. You know, she didn't like that role. She feels embarrassed about that now. But anyways, Lorelai mentioned that previously to Rory in episode 1 that if she's going to throw her life away, he'd better have a motorcycle.
Yep, she sure did.
And since we talked a lot about this particular character, Christopher,
yeah,
he's been mentioned a lot. We're gonna go ahead and profile him right now.
Yes, let's do it.
So, Christopher Hayden, a.k.a. David Sutcliffe.
That is his real name, yes.
He is a 6'1", Canadian-American retired actor from Saskatoon, Canada.
Oh, so he's like me. I'm Canadian-American.
Yeah. He's known for Christopher on the Gilmore Girls, of course, and Adrian Latt from the series Cracked, and Dr. Lynn Barless of Proof. Roy said that Lorelai was cracked once before.
Yes.
So that kind of ties into Stretch, but I'm reaching. He was briefly married to Julie McCullough of Growing Pains fame, Kirk Cameron's love interest. They had a little bit of a feud, so she got wrote off the show because she posed for Playboy, and as we know, Kirk Cameron's a big Christian, so they clashed over that a little bit. He attended Dennis Morris Catholic High School and Victoria University, and he moved to L.A. in 1998.
Okay.
He was recruited by Victoria University as a basketball player, varsity level. He was diagnosed with a hernia disc shortly thereafter, and those aspirations fell by the wayside.
Oh,
yeah, unfortunately. So he's kind of a athlete too. Like,
I didn't realize he was that tall.
Yeah,
6'1".
And even Scott on his podcast mentioned that, and as we know, he was big in the baseball.
Yeah,
and he mentioned how deceptively strong he is when they had that fight scene. So yeah, he's got a little power behind him. You know, he doesn't look like it. He's deceptively strong. He's one of those wiry types. You know, He played Dean in the movie Testosterone. I just wanted to... That's another reaching tie-in to the show.
Oh, okay.
Because Dean,
Rory.
I'm trying to reach here for Gilmore Girls things. He's been in several movies under the Tuscan Sun.
Was he?
Yeah.
I did not know he was in that.
Murder in the Hamptons.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch that movie now.
Yeah. He's been in several rom-coms. You might like Cake, The Convenient Groom, Before You Say I Do, and The Wish List.
Okay,
and,
yeah, we're going to have to go and look up some movies.
And these are two I want to check out. Some sci-fi flicks.
Oh, Lord.
Be, you know how I am with
this.
I'm not saying they are, but they probably are. Mega Cyclone.
Yeah, that sounds like a B-movie.
And Night of the Twisters.
Yeah.
You know,
we've seen Night of the Twisters.
Have we? Maybe it's before I knew who he was.
But I want to see it again now that we know he's in it.
Because like I said, I'm recently a Gilmore Girls fan. This is my second time around. I have noticed him in some Hallmark movies, and this is another guilty pleasure. Lifetime, Hallmark. I went through a period there, and I was like, hey, that's Christopher. But he's appeared in shows Private Practice, I'm With Her, The Division, and like I said, Proof, and several, these are the Hallmark movies, several Christmas movies, and I think you know how I feel about Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. And this is probably where I said, hey, that's Christopher. Probably last year. Charming Christmas, On Strike for Christmas, His and Her Christmas, Snow Wonder, and Holiday Affair. So he's been in a lot of those.
Wow. We've got a lot of movies to watch.
Oh, yeah, because you know I'm all about Christmas.
Oh, me too.
It's a Christmas show.
We love the Hallmark movies. Yeah. We also love the Lifetime Christmas movies, too.
I get into all the daughter this and the mommy this. You know, all those movies.
Not Without My Daughter, My Daughter's...
Yeah, Kidnapped.
My Daughter's Twisted.
My Cheerleader's a Murderer. All those movies. They're really not really written out. But...
No, we have a theory about them, though, and it is... I'm telling you, it is true.
Always.
Always true. These Lifetime movies, we get to the point where, like, all right, the main point in the climax of the story is about to hit because it's 15 minutes toward the end.
You say pause it, and I'll pause it. It says 15. He's like, it's about to come out.
Yep. And it always does.
We always joke about that. Yeah. It's 15 minutes. About to come out here.
Yep.
the big reveal.
Yep.
Yeah, but he's a certified, a lot of people don't know this, he's a certified core engineering practitioner.
Oh, wow.
He's a graduate of Radical Aliveness Institute of Southern California.
So smart and handsome.
Yes. Well, he's another, like I posted on Instagram, Scott Patterson's birthday. He's a Renaissance man. He's another one of these types.
Because I will say this, he is an attractive man. And I really think in later seasons, you will see a younger Christopher, a 16-year-old Christopher.
Yeah.
And they should have done better casting to match
they
up.
They butchered that.
To match up
he did not
the
look,
handsomeness of adult Christopher.
Sorry, whoever you are, dude, but yeah no.
It's not that the dude was ugly. He just wasn't
Christopher.
He did not have that special attractive face that Christopher
has.
They
did a pretty decent job
what's his name?
David Sutcliffe. Yeah, they did a pretty decent job on Lorelai, though.
Oh, Lorelai was great.
Yeah, and I love that. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
David's done a lot of
in about 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, just hang in there with us. We'll get to that. We promise. If we're still around by then.
It's up to y'all.
Wish us well and good health. He's done a lot of charity work with the Holly Grove House for abused and neglected children.
See, I admire people that give to causes like that. And I really do.
Yes, for the children.
Uh-huh.
And he's the second one. There's one other that we mentioned before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's raised funds for children's mental health programs in Toronto.
Oh, that's nice.
Just a lot of children's charities.
I think it says, I mean, some of them I think truly give just because they think it's expected of them and it makes them look good. But some of the less rich actors, you know, they're not like Arnold Schwarzenegger or hugely rich, you know, where they get $30 million a movie. People that are just kind of middle of the road actors, when they really give to charities and get behind them, I feel like it's more heartfelt almost.
Yeah.
Maybe that's unfair of me to say, but I really do. That's how I feel.
Well, the one I was mentioning earlier was Chad Michael Murray because of his abandonment issues.
Yeah.
And he really reaches out to the children too. I'm sorry I didn't remember that earlier, but that's the one I wanted to mention. So they're both, Chad and David are both into the children's charities. He also nominated for several awards for his performances, Outstanding Performance and Best Performance in Cracked.
Okay.
Going back to
did not know that.
Lorelai's Cracked. But that show Cracked. And also for Best Actor in Proof, the other one I mentioned.
Very nice.
Here's some fun facts for you. I saw an interview.
Oh.
As I was Gilmore.
Yep. I know what one of them is.
Yes,
I'm
I was talking to
it.
You about him.
Yep.
His famous entrance with the motorcycle, he never rode a motorcycle before. That was actually a stuntman riding in.
Yep.
But he did learn, and that is him with Rory riding off at the end of the scene. And now he's an avid rider. He loves it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he learned to ride on the Gilmore Girls. He is the first and only character to say the title of Gilmore Girls on the show out loud twice, actually.
Thought I might visit the Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
Yep. And that is first and only character to ever say that. Yeah.
He's kind of proud of that one. He thought he bombed the audition because as he was leaving, they burst out in laughter. They called him back and he was like, I thought I didn't get this. And they were like, the reason we were so excited, it wasn't laughing at you, is that we found our Christopher.
Wow.
So he must have did a good reading, you know.
Obviously, he got the job.
Now, he didn't like his character, what he stood for, because he wanted to be the hero type. And
that
he didn't
speaks well of him.
Yeah, he didn't want to be the absentee, the deadbeat, as he's often portrayed.
Yeah.
You know, and that leads to his favorite episode was the Cotillion, where he got to be the stand-up dad for Rory.
Yeah.
And that was his favorite.
I can see that.
Out of all the episodes, that's what he chose.
Aw.
So, you know, that speaks to his heart. He's a good guy. And that's pretty much all the Gilmore and I did on
well,
him.
And it kind of makes me have to
reassess.
Reevaluate how I feel about the character.
When I do these profiles,
because
it puts them in a whole new the it person.
Does.
It's one thing for a character to get on your skin. That's good acting.
Well, you know,
but the person.
It's just kind of like this. It's like you have a certain feeling about a character. This is not your favorite character.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of things about them that you do not admire. But then you find out what a great person they are in real life, and all of a sudden it's hard to dislike the character as much as you did before.
What they stand for, what they support.
Because, and it also points out how great of an actor they are.
Yeah.
Because they're able to take their personality, which is so loving and giving and such a nice and lovely spirit, and play a character like that.
Well, I don't see great anybody acting. Else playing Christopher either. They're right. They had their Christopher on that one.
They pegged him.
Yeah.
He was great casting.
So we're going to move on now to Scott Patterson's podcast, number 14, I Don't Spruce. Yeah. We all know that he's a certified G and a bona fide stud.
Yeah.
But Luke made a move only to be interrupted by Taylor. So once again, he was blocked. So they made a big deal about this.
Yes.
Yeah, the chemistry is palpable between Luke and Lorelai, as they were saying. Yeah, Luke viewed as rebellious and irreverent that Luke is the heavy. Emily got Lorelai to open up. They liked that, but they disliked how she was dismissive of Lorelai's feelings.
Yeah,
that's much
just
like
us.
So they're in agreement on that. Luke viewed it as Emily wanting to save her daughter. That's why it's pro-Chris and anti-Luke. But I think they're getting ahead on that because we really haven't. Christopher, he just showed up.
You don't know what he's like yet.
So they're getting a little ahead of it.
Yeah.
The episode.
Uh-huh.
Scott brought up the Donna Reed and how it was similar to what we talked about, the war effort and the American dream. Also, they brought up Rory's generation, women's empowerment, feminism, different mindsets. And as I mentioned, that what they didn't mention was the morphing into a joint partnership in marriage where you almost have to work together.
Yeah.
Now, and there are single mothers, single fathers. It runs the gambit, so you really can't be down on somebody. So be supportive, people, of everybody's situation. You know, you don't know somebody until you walk them out in their shoes. My granddad used to say that.
That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah.
You can never know someone until you walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah.
Then you're a mile away and you have their shoes, too.
Well, that's a little low rent take on it.
Yeah. But it just reminded
you,
me.
Didn't you know them and you have their shoes, right?
Yeah.
Scott really was upset on Luke's behalf because Chris was riding in on his Indian chief that stole his thunder. It pulled the rug out from under him. You know, it took his little strides he's made and just wiped them out because daddy's back.
Yeah.
You know how Lorelai gets in her feels, and I don't know.
Lorelai's a little flighty sometimes.
Yeah, but they did, and of course you got Rory. Dad, you know, come stay with us. Oh, it's just terrible for Luke right now.
Well, think about your first love. You feel nostalgic about them.
Yeah.
And so she feels nostalgic about him.
They also think, as a first-time viewer, I don't know if you thought this. I didn't necessarily, but they think first-time viewers, and if you are, give us your opinion on this. They think fans love Christopher because he came in so cool and exciting and mysterious. I don't know about that.
Well,
because he's been mentioned as not being around, not a good, you know?
It's hard for me to answer that because I've seen the show so much.
Yeah.
And at this point,
you know too much.
I know that Christopher doesn't usually look that cool.
It's not painted
know?
in a good light either.
He doesn't usually look that cool. He doesn't have many cool
moments. And that's what
moments,
he said. He
wanted
to be a hero type. That's why he didn't like the character. Just let us know what you think about that. Now, the second part of his podcast, he interviewed the town troubadour, Grant Lee Phillips.
Oh, I love the troubadour.
Yeah.
He's a talented man.
Oh, yeah. And he said the Gilmore Girls was a great experience. He was glad to be a part of it. Lots of fans due to the Gilmore Girls that grew from that show.
That's great.
Now, Scott's a musician, too, in his own right.
Yeah.
And he was asking him, what's your process, you know? And Grant was like, it stems from boredom. You know, the down times. And he's like, coronavirus was a whole new level, you know. He says his best memories were of him and Scott between takes passing the guitar back and forth.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Scott said it's become more of a hobby for him now, but originally he wanted his band to make it, but they broke up. So he's focused on baseball, and then that led to other things. When things don't work out, you make lemons into lemonade, you know.
Yeah, new opportunities everywhere.
Yeah. Grant was only supposed to be on one show, but it turned into 19, plus the winner.
Yes.
In A Year in the Life. Most of the songs were his original songs on the show, except for a very few.
No kidding.
Yeah. There's a
very... He's a great
free
singer.
Free True to Your School, off the top of my head, you know. That was the Beach Boys. And several other ones I'm not recalling, but most of them were his songs.
Only 19 episodes, you say?
Yeah.
Wow. Out of all the seasons, he seems to have been... just be there more than that to me.
The one I like the most is when all the troubadours come in, because he got I don't know if he was even in it, because he got famous and all these troubadours came in. It was like 16 of them in the courtyard.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We'll get to that, but yeah.
That was funny.
Was even in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he intervened, because he was passed. That's the first time we actually see him passing through scenes, you know.
Oh, we should have profiled him.
Well, he did on his. That's why I'm.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm just touching on it. He did a word association with him. It was funny. He would call out a character's name and he would respond. So Scott said Luke, and Grant said the man. And then he said Miss Patty, and Grant said mother. And then Scott said Taylor Dosey, and he paused for a moment, and Grant was like caffeinated. And then Scott said Babette, and Grant said loving, bubbly. Aww. Of a person. Yeah, bubbly of a person. That speaks well of Sally. And then Scott said Lorelai, and Grant said sensual. And Scott said hello. And Scott said Rory. Grant said budding. And then he said Kirk, and he said whimsical. And
I can see that.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
Then he the last one, Scott said Miss Kim, and Grant said stern. And I agree with that, don't you?
I do. I agree with
he
all pe- this.
He pegged him.
He did.
Yeah. So he's a good judge of character.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So that ended his interview. It was great. Check that out. And before leaving, he said, do you mind if I come visit you in Nashville? And I learned this.
Uh-huh.
He lives in Nashville.
Oh, I didn't know that, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Music City.
He said, I want to come down and do a gig with you.
Oh.
And I'm all for that.
Oh, yeah. Come on down,
Scott. And Grant was like, yeah, come down, have some hot chicken. We're known for our hot chicken, evidently. And it would be nice.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
We live here, and I didn't know that.
We're holed up. We don't know nothing. But he said, that'd be nice. And I'd like to see that, because they're both very talented. And I want to give a shout out to Scott's new single.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss You More.
Absolutely. I love that song.
Yeah. We've been posting that on Instagram. It's got a lot of likes. Check that out. Download it if you haven't. So we're going to move on to the culture segment with Riley. Martha Stewart was mentioned in the show.
Yeah.
And
we mentioned her too.
Yeah, we said that line, but they were kind of making fun and saying that she confirmed that she did send out a thirst trap photo in her 80s recently. Several of them.
Yeah.
And I went and Gilmore'd.
Of course.
It was tasteful. It was from the neck up. She was doing what I call from the movie Duff, when the mom does her duck head shots.
Yes.
Which she corrects her and says, it's not duck, it's duck face.
Yeah.
And she's like, the duck head. I'll do more duck heads. Anyway, mazel tov, Donnie, you know? But anyways, I thought that was funny. Now, you're all about women's empowerment. Don't be shaming her. If she's in her 80s and she's got it, let her do her thing. That's what that's what I'm saying. Hey, if I look good and I'm in my 80s, I'm gonna be flexing and carrying on too. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I digress. They mentioned the dreaded clown pillow. I know you're all about that.
I saw it. Yes.
Yeah. 10 seconds
I
in.
I spotted it.
10 seconds in. Next to Rory. We have to be precise here, because you know Scott has his theory on it's kind of like the Matrix. The world's coming in. Or something, you know. Clown Files, you know. So there was 3 continuity issues that Scott brought up. Rory's first slice of pizza, they did a take, she had eaten half of it, and then it came back the next second and she had a whole slice again.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Yeah. I thought maybe she'd already wolfed that first one down.
Well, that could be possible, because you know they eat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a possible one, but I'll just go ahead and give that to him. He would know more than us. But the second one is when Luke is he does know this one. Boxing up a burger to go, and I do vaguely remember this as in passing. I'll wrap that up for you, remember?
Yeah.
And he starts, and then the next second he's starting again to do it. So that's in there. And then the third is when the clown pillow again. So I'm circling back. When Dean's there, he puts his jacket over the clown pillow. The next scene, it's uncovered. And the next scene is Jacket's back over.
Okay, that's not creepy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that clown is playing havoc on this show. I think Scott's onto something here. That basically wraps up Scott's podcast. So, we want to move on to our lore lines?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So,
ladies first.
No, you always go first.
Oh, you don't want me to steal your thunder. Okay.
No. Yes. We have a pattern here.
All right. So, I'm going to follow the pattern.
What is your lore line?
I'm going to keep it together, people.
Keep it together.
All right. Mine is when Richard is talking about Arthur's death.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, well, at least we'll be well rested. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Mine is when Lorelai says to Luke that there was a hole in the floor and maybe the chick crawled through it and fixed it. And Luke says back to her, so she's a super intelligent chick with great physical and deductive skills.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, that just struck me
that
as funny.
That chick is almost like a MacGyver.
Yes.
In essence.
Yes.
You don't want to cross that chick is what he's saying.
Because they had to tear that house up.
Yeah.
To find and recapture
that was
that
a Houdini chick.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, Houdinette. All right,
so what's your Rory?
Okay, my Rory is when Luke and Lorelai in the diner, they're talking about his father and how Lorelai longed for that relationship. You get that feeling that she longed for that relationship, that type of relationship. The close call, although it was blocked by Taylor's mob, that was very exciting. And come on, do it, man. Just kiss her.
Right. Well, my Rory was also that same scene in the scene in the diner when Luke and Lorelai have their near kiss moment.
Yeah.
When all he had to do was just lean in and he didn't.
Yeah.
Also, a shout out to their scene where they are looking for the chick.
Yes.
At Lorelai's house because it was just hysterical. All the dialogue, all the chasing around the room, it was great.
Breaking lamps.
Yep.
Being suspect. Yeah, all that.
So, what's your Emily?
Okay. Now, you probably agree with me on this, but the second Friday night dinner, the pre-Friday night dinner, where they're having the flippant conversation about the death of Arthur, and then they call Lorelai morbid for her comment. Then, their reaction to Rory being a housekeeper is tantamount to killing them with a disappointment. Almost. And then it even extends into the kitchen when Emily gets her to admit her feelings and then dismisses them in the same breath.
Yeah.
Just that whole scene was no bueno.
Right. So my Emily was also about how, I think, in the same area where Richard and Emily are talking about the guy dying, so they were able to get the place at Martha's Vineyard, and how they treated Lorelai when she mentioned he's dead now, so he's got his.
Yeah, that's what the morbid
and
comment,
like, what they said was so innocent, and she was so terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, it goes both ways there, people.
Yeah.
You can't in one breath demean somebody, and then when somebody joins in, how dare you, the audacity, that's how they acted, you know?
So, how would you rate this episode?
Okay, this is going to be, I don't know if this is my first, but I'm going to have to go 3 out of 5 hollow stars here. And I'll tell you, this is one I could take or leave, this episode. I don't know what it is, but I can't put my finger on it. It was okay. They're teasing us with the Luke and Lorelai romance building. And then here rides up the one and only Christopher to put another brick in the wall. Maybe that's my issue. I don't know.
Well, I was with you on this one. I gave it a 3 out of 5 hollow stars as well. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast episode, I felt that a lot of this one came across as a filler to me. I did absolutely love all of the Luke Lorelai scenes.
Yeah.
And if it had just been those scenes, this would have gotten a 4 or maybe even a 5. But I guess I could have done without the subplot of the Donna Reed thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's not that it didn't have an important message.
Well, that's setting something up.
I guess so.
Because you got 2 views here. You got Rory's view and you got Dean's view. That's going to come in out later to play, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
So I do see the point to it, but I almost think it could have been shortened and they could have had more room for something else more important.
Yeah, I see that.
They could have shortened it, condensed it
a
little bit.
Then I could have stretched it to a 4, maybe.
And it wouldn't have been an entire half of the episode.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what did it for me. But I do agree with you that it number one, it does set up something for later. But number two, it did have a good message to ponder.
And then Christopher, I know this is setting up the next episode, but Christopher just riding in unannounced and like he's going to save everything for Lorelai and Rory. That just hit me wrong too.
As soon as she said his name, I wanted to smack him and kill him.
Well, his whole...
Because I thought, oh gosh, here's another distraction.
Yeah, his whole, hey baby, take your shirt off, you know, come on now.
Well, he was just teasing her. Yeah, I mean, that's what you do with somebody you've known half your life. You
that
know?
Was a good joke, though, I guess.
All in right. his own right. But it was still a good episode, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single episode of this show that I don't like.
I wouldn't refuse to watch it.
A 3 is still a good rating,
yeah, in my I would view. Still watch it, but I wouldn't jump for joy to watch it or anything. You
I
know?
Mean, a 3 is, as we described initially of our rating system, is a good, solid episode. Yeah, it was a good one, and we enjoyed it, as we do every episode. And that is just about it for us this time.
Yeah, we're wrapping her up.
Yep, wrapping it up.
Putting a big bow on it.
So thank you guys for sticking with us for another episode. Get ready to Ready, Set, Stream, Season 1, Episode 15.
See you next time.
And we will talk to you next time. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.